Okay, so John chapter 18, and I'm reading from verse 15. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. That other disciple was well known to the high priest. So he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest's house, while Peter stayed outside by the gate. Then the other disciple went back out, spoke to the girl at the gate, and brought Peter inside. The girl at the gate said to Peter, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" "No, I am not," answered Peter. It was cold, so the servants and guards had built a charcoal fire and were standing round it, warming themselves. So Peter went over and stood with them, warming himself. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have always spoken publicly to everyone. All my teaching was done in the synagogues and in the temple, where all the people come together. I have never said anything in secret. Why then do you question me? Question the people who heard me. Ask them what I told them. They know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the guards there slapped him and said, "How dare you talk like that to the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have said anything wrong, tell everyone here what it was. But if I am right in what I have said, why do you hit me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter was still standing there, keeping himself warm. So the others said to him, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" But Peter denied it. "No, I am not," he said. One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, spoke up. "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" he asked. Again, Peter said no, and at once the cock crowed. The Lord blessed us this reading of his holy word. Amen. So we continue our series of messages on this theme, the Passion of the Christ, looking at Jesus' final moments before he died on the cross. And today we're looking specifically at this story of when Peter denied Jesus. He denied that he even knew him. I don't know if you've ever had the unfortunate experience of being betrayed by a friend or not. Maybe a person you trusted. Maybe someone that you thought you knew really well. And then, like a bolt out of the blue, the knife hits you in the back. And you wonder, where on earth did that come from? No one ever expects anything like that from a friend or someone you're close to. And it's not a nice experience at all. Or perhaps you've been on the other side. Perhaps you've let someone down really badly. And the realization of knowing that you've betrayed a friend is not a nice feeling either. It's a very uncomfortable place to be. I wonder if we could have our first picture up. You may have to go through a few slides, Sophie, to get to it. That's it. Oops. Ah, my slides are a bit mixed up today. So we may be able to understand the emotions going on in the background to this scene a little bit. If we've either had that experience ourselves, of either being betrayed or having let someone down really badly. And first of all, we want to look together at this, the first time that Peter denies Jesus. He does it three times. We're going to look at what happens the first time. We're told here that Peter isn't alone. There's another disciple with him here. Now, we're not told the name of that disciple, but it's likely that it was John the Apostle. Because John never uses his own name in this gospel. He's always anonymous, and he refers to himself as the beloved disciple. So it kind of sounds similar to what he's saying here. So it probably was John. And what we know of John was he was a young boy at the time. He was probably only about 16. He was the youngest of Jesus' disciples. And so this disciple seems to know the girl at the gate, who's guarding the gate, letting people in or stopping them get into the high priest's house. And you know, he has a word with the girl at the gate, and she lets Peter in. And notice what she says to Peter here. He says, "Aren't you also one of the disciples of that man?" And she already knew that John was a disciple of Jesus. She already knew that he was associated with him. So why on earth did Peter deny that he knew Jesus, that he was a disciple too, when John was standing there next to him? It seems a bit strange. And did he think the girl was stupid? And I must have thought, you know, oh, she's not going to know. This other guy standing right there next to him, and he goes and says, "Oh, this Jesus, I don't know him at all." It would be a bit like standing in the middle of Paisley, if you were a Greenock Morton fan, and shaking your head, "Who, me, a Morton fan? Well, you've got the hat and the scarf round your head. No, I'm not a Morton fan." Now, it was that obvious. Here was John, and here was Peter. And he's saying, "No, I don't know the guy at all." Yet if it weren't so serious, it would be funny. But Jesus emphasises the seriousness of denying him in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, when he says, "For those who declare publicly that they belong to me, I will do the same before my Father in heaven. But if anyone rejects me publicly, I will reject him before my Father in heaven." Now, those are strong words from Jesus. This was a serious thing, to deny Christ. I was going to have a film clip at this point, but for some reason the sound wasn't coming on when I tested it earlier. There's a film out at the moment called The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. Maybe some of you might have seen it already. It's about a little boy, 8-year-old, who is the son of a commandant of a Nazi concentration camp during the Second World War. So his dad is a commandant in the camp, not a nice person. And he befriends this Jewish boy. That's where the name the striped pyjamas comes in, because the Jews had to wear these striped outfits in the concentration camps. He befriends this little boy. And there's this scene in the film where he's talking to this boy about their dads. And he says to the wee German boy, "Is your dad a good dad?" And he says, "Well, I'm not sure. Sometimes he can be quite a bad man." And then he says, "And what about your dad?" And there's the wee boy, and he says, "Well, I've not seen my dad for some time. I think he was somewhere else in the camp. And they'd been separated. But he said he was a good man." And then in bursts the German boy's father, the Nazi commandant. And he shakes him and says, "Have you been speaking to this boy?" He says, "You do not speak to these people in this camp." And he turns to the Jewish boy, "You're not to speak to anybody in this house," because he was using him as a sort of house servant in his house. And then he turns to his own son again, and he says, "Do you know this boy?" Of course, the wee boy is absolutely terrified. And he says, "No." He says, "I've never seen him in my life before." He says, "I don't know him. He's not my friend." And then the film turns to the wee Jewish boy, and you just see the pain in his face. He's been betrayed by this wee boy that he thought was his friend. The pain of being betrayed is even more when it's done by someone we really trust and respect. I mean, the shock on that wee boy's face, you know, told a whole story as his friend turned against him. Here in the Gospel, Peter was one of the closest people to Jesus. He was the most respected among the disciples, yet even he betrayed his friend. And in some ways, we can actually take comfort from this. Even those closest to Christ fall and sin. None of us are immune from failure. And we probably don't need anyone to tell us that. And yet, someone like Peter, the great apostle, was a very flawed man. We'll have our next picture up. Let's compare what Jesus is like alongside Peter. And this is exactly what John wants us to do here. He wants us to compare Peter with Jesus. And that's why he's got this wee story stuck in the middle. You have Peter denying Jesus the first time. Then you have a wee story in the middle about Jesus at this trial. And then he carries on with Peter denying Jesus a second, a third time. But he wants us to see what Peter's done and then take our eyes and look at Jesus' example. And in this mini trial at the high priest's house, Jesus is asked about his disciples and about his teaching. But rather than explain himself, Jesus appeals for witnesses. He says, I've not taught anything in secret. I've done nothing that is hidden. If you want to know what I've said and what I've done, ask those that saw me. He appeals for witnesses. And this is a court. And that's what you would do if you were in court. You would have witnesses there who would speak up for you. Now compare how Jesus answered, Jesus' bold answer to Annas the high priest, and Peter's reluctance to admit to anything. Peter didn't want to say anything, and yet Jesus boldly spoke to the high priest. He wasn't, you know, there was nothing hidden. He laid it out on the table. You know, this is who I am. And the great irony here is that Jesus is called for witnesses, as you would at any legal trial. And yet there was a witness there outside the door, Peter himself, who saw and heard everything that Jesus had done. And did he say, oh, I'll come forward and bear witness? He didn't, did he? He said he didn't know this man at all. And how would you feel if you were standing before a judge? I hope none of you have had to do that, but if you did, if you stood before a judge in a court of law, and one of your best friends was going to bear witness for you, and you were expecting them to get up, and what would happen if they said, don't know this guy, never seen him before? And all of a sudden your whole case is bang out the water. And the judge says, well, where are your witnesses? We've got to find you guilty. You would be angry, wouldn't you? You would be disappointed if that happened. Now, before we're maybe too harsh with Peter here, we have to understand why John would have put this story in the gospel in the first place. Many early Christians would have heard all about Peter. Peter, the great hero, the great apostle. Peter was up there on a pedestal. They would have heard all these stories. Maybe some of them had met him in person. And John is saying, Peter, let me tell you a story about Peter. This is what he did. And from what we know of the Gospels, Peter sanctioned some of the Gospels. The Gospel of Mark is supposed to be Peter's account of what happened. That Mark wrote it down and Peter told them what had happened. And so he wasn't afraid for people to see all his dirty laundry out in the open, because he knew what kind of man he had been. But the point of the story is, if God can use a man like Peter, surely he can use anyone. Surely he can use any of us. He can use a guy like that that would even betray his best friend. Surely he can use any of us. There's hope for all of us. If we have our next picture up. Lastly, at the end of this passage, Peter blows it again. He's denied Jesus once, and then he does it another two times. Second time, it's someone from the garden that recognises him. Remember last week, Jesus was arrested, he flew into a rage, he happened to be well tooled up, he had a sword in his in his shield. He was all ready for a fight. He took out his sword and chopped this guy's ear off. And then he wonders why somebody recognised him from the garden. You know, he was, it's not as if he was trying to be inconspicuous. You know, he chopped some guy's ear off, so he was remembered by someone that was there. And then morning came, and he heard the cock crow. And as he heard that sound, he would have been taken back to words that Jesus said to him a wee while before. In John chapter 13, Peter said to Jesus, he said, "I'm ready to die for you." And Jesus answered, "Are you really ready to die for me? I am telling you the truth. Before the cock crows, you will say three times that you don't even know me." Those words would have been like a sword going through Peter's heart. Well, the other Gospels tell us he was in absolute anguish at what had happened. He was ashamed at what he did. But he didn't realise until he'd done it three times, and it was too late. He couldn't take it back. But Peter was about to realise the extent of God's love for him. In less than 12 hours' time, Jesus would be nailed to that Roman cross to satisfy divine justice. Sin against God must be paid for. But God himself came to earth in Jesus Christ and bore the penalty that we could not pay ourselves. None of us can pay that high price, but Jesus himself took it for us. That's the extent of God's love for Peter. It's the extent of God's love for us as well. Peter's denial, his betrayal, his failures were nailed to that cross that Friday afternoon. If there's anyone here today that maybe feels shame or burdened by failure and guilt, you don't need anybody to tell you that you're a sinner, that you've broken God's laws. Let me tell you today that you do not need to carry those things any longer. Because of the cross, because Jesus took those things to the cross with him. And there is an answer for these things. It's the cross of Christ. Now, what Jesus did for a man like Peter, he can do for anyone here today. He can do it for you too. So I might ask, how can that happen? You turn away from sin. You turn away from rebelling against God. And you turn to Christ. Now, trusting that in his death on the cross, that you are put right with God. God makes his peace with you. You make your peace with God. Like the early disciples, perhaps we put Peter up on a pedestal. But the reality is he was a broken, flawed man with a rebellious heart, just like us, if we are honest with ourselves. And yet he genuinely loved God, and he had a deep desire to follow his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of us would feel the same way. Yes, Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. But I know that in many ways I fail you. I let you down. We love God. We try and follow Christ. But we know that our hearts are rebellious and cause us to sin against him. And that's why I believe that Peter's story today is a story that should give us hope for all of us, that because of the cross of Jesus, our failures don't determine what our future will be. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that this story has been retold in the Gospels for us to read today. That a man like Peter, whom we know went on to be the great apostle and leader of your church, that a man like him, who was so flawed that his heart was rebellious against you, that he even denied that he even knew you. Lord, if you can save a man like that, you can do the same for us as well. So Lord, may we take heart from this story today. May we realize the extent of your love for us in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we know the extent of your grace and your mercy. And may we have a real sense of your love today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.